Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing today? Good, good. Hey, how many of y'all have a special summertime tradition or a memory of something that you used to do during the summer, maybe when you were a kid or with a family that you did? Just something that, like, when you think back about it, you're just like, man, that memory was just, that just brings me so much joy. Or you go somewhere and you're like, every time you go there, like, man, you just think back to the memories that were made there. Or maybe there's like a certain thing or like a place or something. How many of y'all have that? Like, you just have special memories of summer, a place, or something that you used to do, right? So for me, when I was growing up, getting out of school meant all of our neighborhood friends were together and we could just play all day long. And so my neighbor to the left of us had this big open field behind their house, and we would oftentimes get together and we would play baseball out in that field. And if we didn't have enough to play baseball, then we were playing like a home run derby. And so we were out in that field playing baseball, and if it wasn't baseball, then we would be taking our portable basketball goals and we'd set them up in one of the streets in our neighborhood that cars didn't really travel on that much. And we'd set up these portable basketball goals, and we'd be playing like full court basketball in the street. And you know, when a car came, we had to move the goals and all, but we were playing basketball. And if we weren't playing basketball and playing baseball, we were certainly riding our bikes. I mean, we were tearing up our neighborhood on our bikes, playing, and we would make dirt mounds and jump. And I mean, we were just all the time doing stuff. And it wasn't just during the day. I mean, at night, we would play these big open neighborhood games of tag. And sometimes late at night, we would do some doorbell ditch, like ding dong ditch, right? It was awesome. I mean, summer, when I think of summer, I just think back to those days of not being in school and playing and having such a good time with my friends in our neighborhood. But summertime is more than just those things that we would do. I mean, I enjoy summertime and enjoyed summertime growing up because that meant I was able to go to church camp at Park Springs. How many of y'all have those memories? I would go to places like Junior High Challenge and Summer in the Sun at Kentucky Christian College, now Kentucky Christian University. And those memories are always in my head. And even so now, as a student minister, I get to go to camp at Blue Ridge and I get to go to CIY Move with our high schoolers. And these memories, I think back to when I was their age, and I'm remembering those things, but I'm making new memories with our students as well. And summer is just, I mean, it's really been my favorite time of the year. Longer days, just all the endless fun and excitement and joy and no school. I mean, it really has been a fun time of the year for me. But it also meant vacation, and it meant time with family. And our family traditions revolved around two beach trips to Oak Island. How many of y'all have been to Oak Island, loved to vacation there? We would always go to Oak Island two times a year. The first, like right after school let out, and then the second time we would go would be right before school let back into session. And we always stayed at Oak Island Beach Villas. So if you know Oak Island, the golf course, like the villas were right across from the golf course. We were such a short walk from Fort Caswell and the lighthouse, like the quieter part of the island. And I loved going to the beach. I mean, we rarely had like sweets growing up in my house, like cakes and ice cream and cookies were just kind of like for special occasion. But man, as soon as we went to the beach and we would go to the grocery store, like upon arriving on the island, my dad would just like load up like 5 to 6 boxes of drumsticks into the grocery cart. Y'all remember what drumsticks are, right? Y'all remember eating these? I mean, my dad, I mean, I don't know where it came from, but drumsticks were what we were just snacking on. Sometimes 2 to 3 times a day, we'd be snacking on drumsticks. And if we ever ran out, you can best bet my dad was going back to the grocery store to go get more drumsticks. And we just seemed to have like this endless supply of drumsticks at our disposal. It was great. My second favorite family tradition was going to West Virginia to go to family reunions. And I know sometimes like family reunions, people are like, I can't stand family reunions. I love family reunions. I think they're great for two reasons. One, because I'm with my family, but the most important reason is because family reunions meant my grandma's homemade fried apple and cherry pies. Take a look at these bad boys. My mouth is watering already. I mean, I can just like taste that like ooey gooey goodness. And if you're on the front row, my mouth is watering. I'm sorry, you're in the splash zone here. But we had two family reunions. We had the Dixon family reunion, and then we had the Phillips. And the Phillips is my grandma's family reunion. And I already told you it's West Virginia, and so there's some like weird like brothers marrying sisters, like grandpa's sister married my grandma's brother. And I mean, it starts to get really interesting, but it's all safe, as far as I know. But you can like taste those fried pies. I mean, they're world famous fried pies. And my grandma would like, she'd have to double her production because as soon as she took them out of the oven, they were automatically in our mouth. They were that good. And it's amazing they made it to the reunions at all. The beach and reunions were celebratory times for me. I mean, I really enjoyed these times of getting away and being with family. They were the places of fried pies and drumsticks. They were fun. They were joyful. They were celebratory. On the opposite end of the spectrum, what is not joyful and what is not celebratory for me is jury duty. Anyone? I mean, there's not a lot that we can all agree on and common ground nowadays, but I think we can all find common ground in the fact that we hate jury duty. I mean, as soon as you get that summons in the mail, you're already dreading that like month to 2 month wait to then have to call the day before to find out if your number's been called. And heaven forbid if your number is called, then you have to go to the courthouse and you have to sit for Lord knows how long if your number is even going to be called to make it into the courtroom. And then from there, are you going to be in the box or not? And we just hate this whole entire process. I mean, jury duty is not fun. If you like jury duty, you need to come get prayer after the sermon is over. Jury duty is something everyone so greatly despises. Sometimes, though, if we're honest with ourselves, and I'm going to be honest with you this morning, I sometimes view coming to church and my relationship with Jesus as jury duty. Like it's something I have to do. Like I'm obligated to do this. I'm forced to be here, and I'm forced to live my relationship with Jesus, not out of like, I want to do this, but I feel like I have to do this. How many of that's been true in your life before? Like maybe you view church as more jury duty. I just have to be here. I mean, it's what I have to do. It's forced. It's an obligation. Maybe church is boring. Like maybe you come here and you're like, I don't see the fun in church. Or maybe it's the people. I mean, if we're honest, we can be some of the most down and out, like gloomy Eeyore type people sometimes. And just being here, you're like, man, these people bring me down. Why? Like, this is not fun. This is not drumsticks and fried pies. Church feels like jury duty. Today, we're going to be in Leviticus 23. And before you already let out a collective sigh of jury duty because it's Leviticus, let me preface this. This chapter of Leviticus is a celebratory chapter. It talks about the festivals that God appointed his followers, the Jewish people, to partake in, to remember the things that he's done for them. It was to be a celebratory time in their lives. He wants them to remember and to celebrate. This morning, we're not going to look at all of them. We're just going to look at a few of the festivals here in Leviticus 23. But I want us to see, like, God really wants us, his people, to be celebratory people. A people of fried pies and drumsticks and not jury duty. Let's go ahead. Leviticus 23, starting in verse 1 through 3. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but on the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord." So Moses, the author of Leviticus, I kind of find it interesting that as God is inspiring him, as God is talking to him, God tells Moses, hey, start with the Sabbath. Start with the Sabbath. I kind of find that interesting. But I think the reason why God says, hey, Moses, start with the Sabbath, it's the reminder that the Sabbath is taking time to get away from work and distractions. And that helps us align our lives with God as we focus on him and nothing else. So whether you go to the beach, you go to the mountains, you're a lake person, wherever you go on vacation, there's one main reason we go on vacation, right? And that's to get away. Get away from work, from distractions, from disturbances, interruptions, pain, and burdens, and grief. Like, we want to go away. We don't want to live that all the time. And so we go on vacation to get away. And it's like going away makes all of the problems of life, the burdens, the difficulties, just seem to, they cease to exist, right? They just seem to just go away. And then we forget when we start coming back home, it's like, oh man, I got all this stuff that I ran away from is still there to meet me when I come back. The beach was a place of like pure rest for me and my family. I mean, we were free to get up whenever we wanted to. We were free to go to the beach and go to the pool whenever we wanted to. We were free to eat breakfast and lunch. The only thing that was really scheduled was dinner, because my mom would make dinner and she wanted to make sure that she made it and we could all eat together at the same time. But we were just there to be free, to relax and eat as many drumsticks as we possibly could. And getting away and relaxing is really important. Like, don't get me wrong. That's important. But that's not the true intention that God had in mind when he talks about the Sabbath, when he institutes the Sabbath. The Sabbath isn't just a day to get away and do nothing. It's a day to take the distractions of life, put them aside, and really focus and align ourselves in God. It's a day to look at God and to say, God, thank you so much for who you are and for what you've done in my life. It's a day to remember and to celebrate how God is working in our lives. It's a day to be for him and for him only, to just focus and align ourselves in him. And Moses, through God, says this is a sacred and holy assembly. Do this together. Get together, throw off all of life's burdens and difficulties, and focus on Jesus. Focus on God, who he is, and what he's done. And as a group, man, we should desire to celebrate that realignment with God every time we are together. And it's important that we rid ourselves of distractions and focus on God so that we can be a people who truly celebrate all that God has done for us. When your eyes are solely focused on him, you're able to see his goodness in all of your life. And if we focus on him, following these festivals, seeing the intention behind these festivals, we're then able to understand why God wants us to be people who celebrate. So the first festival that we want to highlight is Passover, verses 4 through 5. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. Passover is so important for the Israelite people. They were in slavery in Egypt for 400 and some years. And so as they're in slavery, they're crying out, Lord, deliver us from the slavery, from the work that the Egyptians have put on us. They're burdened. And they're crying out, and God hears their cry, and he sends Moses and his brother Aaron. And they go to Pharaoh, and they're like, let our people go. And Pharaoh's like, I'm not going to do it. And so through Aaron, God sends plagues to Egypt. And they go through 9 plagues, and every time the plagues are getting more severe, but yet Pharaoh is not relenting. And so finally God says, the 10th plague will make them realize that I am God. So the 10th plague was the plague of the firstborn. If you remember, they were to take the blood of an unblemished lamb, and they were to paint their doorposts, the frames of their houses, with this blood. And God told Moses, if you do this, when my angel of death comes, your houses will be passed over. The angel of death will spare your firstborn, and the firstborn of all the Egyptians, those who do not paint the doorpost, animals, humans, will be killed. And so the Israelites do this. They paint their door frames. And that night, the angel of death comes. and it takes out all of the firstborn. And it, Scripture says that the wails, the mourning, the cries from the Egyptians were so great that Pharaoh finally has to let the Israelites go. And so they go. They flee. They're able to leave slavery. The celebration of Passover isn't just a celebration to think about the past. For us, it helps us to think about the future. It helps us to think about how God has rescued us from slavery. How God sent his son Jesus to be the sacrificial lamb. And therefore, Passover, communion is our modern day version of Passover. We come together and we remember Jesus' sacrifice, his blood spilled, his body broken on the cross so that we could have forgiveness and freedom of sin. And we look back and we remember that, and then we look ahead to how God is continuing to work in the lives of so many people who confess him as Lord and Savior. His body broken, his blood shed. It is a celebration for all baptized believers to know that they have been set free from sin as we partake this together, whether it's on Sunday morning or Wednesday morning at chapel. Let's pick up the festival of first fruits, Leviticus 23, 9 through 10. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'When you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest the sheaf of the first grain of your harvest.'" Giving back to God really isn't something that we think about in celebratory terms. But the festival of first fruits was established to remind the Israelites that God had provided. It was to remind them of God's provision. And we live in this selfish, self-seeking world, right? I mean, how many times have we heard or even been guilty of saying the things like "I worked hard for what I have," or "I deserve to enjoy the fruits of my labor." And when we say these things, when we hear these things, we often forget that God is the one who has provided the ability for us to work, provided us the ability to do anything and everything that we do. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. All things are in his hands. We'd have no control over that. It is truly through God. And the festival of first fruits reminds us that we are to celebrate God's provision by giving back a portion of his provision in our lives. Sacrifice and giving, they're not synonymous with celebration. Like, I don't know how many people are like, "Yes, I'm celebrating when I'm sacrificing." But if you think about it in the terms that God wants us to think about, it's all his to begin with, you can celebrate knowing how he has truly blessed you, how he has truly taken care of you. We can celebrate that fact that it's all through God. Everything we have is in him and through him and by him and for him. And so many times we live in this scarcity mindset. We've talked about this before, where we have both hands closed. And we're not allowing God's blessings to run through us. We're like, "I gotta hold on to what I have. It's mine." And we deny God's blessing in our lives. I mean, when we have both hands open, his blessing comes in and through, and it goes right back out to then bless other people. That's how we celebrate what God has done in our lives. And if that's a struggle for you, if you're like, "Man, giving is just something I'm not comfortable with," or like, "Is God really going to take care of me?" Maybe that is a true sacrifice for some this morning. Man, I just want to challenge you. Go out in faith a little bit. You may not think you have a lot. Give what you think you can give. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to be blessed financially. Maybe you might get a little. I don't know. Like, sometimes that works. But here's the biggest blessing. You're going to start to realize all that you have because of God. All of your blessings, all of the things that you have been given are gifts from God. And you realize that it's from him. You're going to start to be less consumed by your things and more willing to celebrate God's provision and his blessing in your life. The last festival I want to highlight this morning is the Day of Atonement. Not much is talked about the Day of Atonement here in Leviticus 23, but if you go back a couple chapters, Leviticus 16, verses 6 through 10, this is how the Day of Atonement is talked about. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord and to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. So you have Aaron, the high priest. He takes two goats. One is to be the offering. So he takes the goat, he spills the blood. That is the offering of blood needed to forgive sin. And then the other goat is the scapegoat. Aaron would put his hand on the goat's head, and that was like a transferring of all of the sin of the people, the Israelite people, onto this goat. And then that goat is sent off into the wilderness as an offering before the Lord. Sin leaving the camp. And this is an imperfect sacrificial system because something had to die and it had to keep dying over and over and over again. And God is telling them, this is how it is for right now, but very soon, the perfect sacrifice, the one sacrifice needed for the sin of the entire world is coming. And we know that the true sacrificial lamb is Jesus. And as he came to earth, God and human, he willingly put himself on the cross to have his blood shed, the only perfect human being to walk the planet, free of the guilt of sin, his blood shed to cover our sin as he took our sin upon himself on the cross. And the Day of Atonement for the Israelite people were to be a day of celebration and forgiveness, celebration of their forgiveness. And they were to do no work. They were to deny themselves, make it holy for the Lord, draw closer to God, to truly understand the sin being atoned for and the sin leaving the camp. They were to celebrate how God had taken away the sins of past generations and their generation away. And the Israelites were called to celebrate the past and the present as they're reminded of God's goodness even as they were entrenched in sin. God had been so good to them and was still willing to take away their sin. There's kind of a common theme. I don't know if you've picked up on this yet, but there's a common theme happening in these festivals. To remember what God has done, to know what God is doing now, and then to think about how God is continuing to work and will work in the future. These festivals mentioned in Leviticus 12 help us to remember what God has done in the past, what he's doing now, and what he will do in the future. I ask us, think about a summertime memory, a place or a thing, something that you did that when you think about it brings you joy. Memories and traditions have a way of doing that, right? I mean, when we think back or when we do something that maybe we did as a kid, we see and we're able to have joy. We're like, man, that was so much fun. Or as you do it with your kids now, you see the joy as you celebrate whatever it is that used to bring you joy. I love family reunions. I said that. I love family reunions, like I said, not just because of my grandma's fried pies, but because of family. I love to hear stories about people who I never met. I love to hear the stories of how things were in the past, the trouble that they used to get into, the good things that they were able to do. And to see the joy on my grandma's face as she talks about these things. She loves to write books and memoirs, and I have some of those, and they're some of the greatest treasures I have. I love to hear those stories. And I love to live in the present, to see all of my current family together, to see what they're up to. And I love to watch my kids interact with their grandparents and their great-grandparents. And to see those generations crossing the bridge, and then to see my nieces and nephews and my own kids and think like, what's life going to be like for them? What cool things are they going to do? What are they going to accomplish? And family reunions help me to remember the past, to live in the present, and to look for the future. So often we have in our minds that church is jury duty, that our relationship with Jesus is jury duty instead of celebration, instead of fried pies and drumsticks. And God is calling his people, he's calling us every single day, be a people who celebrate. And it should be second nature for us. Why? Because we have the greatest hope of all time. Because we know what God has done in the past, what he's doing now, and we know how the future plays out. And we know that we're on the winning side. Scripture gives us that truth. And we have the greatest hope of all people. Man, we should be a people every single day of fried pies and drumsticks. And that celebration should come from a place of joy and gratitude and thankfulness and generosity, because we have the greatest hope. We truly do. We celebrate the past, the present, and the future because God has worked, is working, and will continue to work until Jesus comes back to make everything right. When I think of someone who celebrates and really has all these characteristics, I cannot help but think of Jonathan Lancho. And maybe as I was saying that, you were kind of thinking the same thing. If you know Jonathan, I don't know how you don't know Jonathan, but hopefully today, if you don't know Jonathan, you'll get to know Jonathan. I sent him a text in the week and just said, hey, I'm going to use you for a sermon illustration. Is that okay? And he responded, yes, but I was told to say, yes, because if you know Jonathan, you know that's, I will not reveal who told me to say that. But there you go. Jonathan is someone like, Audrey, maybe you think differently, but Jonathan, I can't get enough of Jonathan. Why? Because he's so full of joy and he is so full of passion and life. And he just went on a cruise and Ashley Mitchell's like, man, just go on a cruise with Jonathan. Like, you think he's great here. Like, man. But it's so much deeper. His joy is so much deeper. And it's contagious because he knows Jesus. Man, Jonathan serves on our First Impressions team. He makes coffee. He serves coffee. You've probably had a conversation with him. He loves to just talk to people, and I love that about Jonathan. He serves in our kids' ministry. He teaches our kids about Jesus, and he's here all the time. I can't tell you how many times I get a text. Robin and I co-lead a life group on Wednesday night, and Jonathan's part of it, and I can't tell you how many times I get a text. It's like, hey, brother, looking forward to, it's like Tuesday. Hey, looking forward to tomorrow night. Wednesday's like my best part of the week. It really gives me that like extra boost that I need. And he'll text me afterwards and encourage me. And like, man, what we talked about was really good. I really needed that. Thank you so much. And he brings people to church. I mean, Jonathan has experienced true life change in Jesus. He brings people to church because he wants them to know and to experience that same life transformation that Jesus has given him. And I know that there are others of you here that are like that as well. But man, Jonathan, man, when I think about drumsticks and fried pies, I can't help but think about Jonathan because of how much he celebrates and has so much joy in the Lord. Jonathan's life has been changed by Jesus. It's currently still being changed by Jesus and will be changed by Jesus. And he knows that and he loves that. And he celebrates that and he's so full of joy. Jonathan is the life of fried pies and drumsticks. A longtime minister named Keith Short was quoted as saying this. He said, people love to go to church where people love to go to church. People love to go to church where people love to go to church. And if we have this jury duty mindset when it comes to church and our relationship with Jesus, we're not doing anyone any favors. But if we were all like Jonathan and lived in fried pies and drumsticks, man, imagine the life change that people would experience and would want to be a part of. What an awesome experience. Do we approach our relationship with church and Jesus like jury duty or fried pies and drumsticks? Leviticus 23 is full of festivals and celebrations. And it gets us to this point. Because of Jesus, our sin and our debt is paid. We have forgiveness of sin. And we have life eternal. And that is the greatest hope of all time. And there are so many people beyond these walls that are broken and so desperately need that hope and that truth. Give that to them as you celebrate the Lord like fried pies and drumsticks. Let's pray. Lord God, I have been guilty of viewing this place as an obligation, by viewing my relationship with you, Lord, as like, I have to do this. I have to do that. Instead of this, I get to worship you. I get to be here and fellowship with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I get to serve you because you have done so much for me, Lord. I'm guilty of having the jury duty type mindset. And so, Lord, help me, correct me to have the mindset of fried pies and drumsticks, a mindset of celebration, of joy, of thankfulness, of generosity. And Lord, if there are some in this room that are struggling with this as well, God, help us to be a people who celebrate all that you have done for us. And not just for ourselves, but God, so we could take that true life change into the world outside of these walls that so desperately needs the hope of forgiveness of sins in life eternal with you. Jesus, we could not be here and be talking about this if it wasn't for your death on the cross, your body broken, your blood shed, how you took on our sin, and how your blood covers our sin. So, Lord, we are eternally grateful for that truth and that hope, and we celebrate that. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful of how you've worked in our lives. May we be a people who celebrate that every single day. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, maybe there are some of you here this morning that you haven't surrendered. Like, you haven't made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And maybe this talk about celebration, you're like, life is not fulfilling. And you're like, I want to celebrate. I want that. Man, make today the day that you confess Jesus as Lord, that you confess your sin, you lay down your life, and you give it to him. Make this the day you know what true celebration is and looks like. If you want to confess Jesus as Lord, give him your life, confess your sins. I will be off to the side. I would love to have that talk with you. If you need prayer for anything as well, I know life is challenging and you're like, man, how can I just celebrate and be joyful when I got burdens and challenges? Let me pray for you as well. Let's talk about those things and celebrate God's goodness even through the difficulty of life. If that's you this morning, you want to receive Jesus, you want to have prayer, I'd love to talk with you over the side as we stand, as we sing this song of response.